This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good morning, everyone. It's always great to share the word of God with the people. Thanks for the introduction, Stefan. So he said, I'm not a regular pastor, so for the first time visitors, please come again if you don't enjoy today. Don't judge Shofar, something that rests on me. It's always nice to preach in holiday times, because then you know the people who are here, and it's less than normal, really want to be here. So it's great to preach to a group of people, or to share with a group of people that I know wants to be here to receive from God. And I'm so blessed. Just this morning, God's already shown me His goodness in the fact that last Saturday morning, before I went to play golf, I was worshiping at home, and I had the speakers on at full blast. My wife and kids are away for some time to her family. And I was worshiping this song, I Raise a Hallelujah, that was just too loud. Raise a Hallelujah that we sang this morning, and it's one of my favorite songs, and I was worshiping in that song, and then I put it off, and I put my golf gear, got into my car, and I switched my car on, and yet the song is playing in my car, and I think, but I was playing it on YouTube inside, how the heck does it work? And I realized Tiger Beck at M104. Playing the exact same song. I was like, that's weird. But I'm not going to ask the worship team to play it this morning, because it's my favorite song. And I'm not going to, they've got their own thing. So I woke up here this morning before the service, and they were just rehearsing. And the very first song I hear is Raise Hallelujah. So praise God that He knows our hearts. He knows our favorite things in life. Let me just pray for us. Father God, we thank You this morning that You are so here, Lord. Your presence is in this room, Lord, and maybe for some people, this whole morning so far has been strange, but Lord, You are here, Father. You love us so much. You have a specific appointment with each one of us, including myself this morning, Lord, to hear from Your heart, Lord, to come and challenge us, to come and bless us, to come and stir in our hearts, Lord. So we say, welcome, Holy Spirit. I pray for open hearts this morning, Lord. I come against the distractions of this world, busy weekends, busy weeks, challenging weeks ahead. I pray, Lord, we'll just be here for the next half an hour or so, Lord, just to experience Your presence and to enjoy Your presence, Father God. We bless Your name. Amen. I was also very blessed. The lady who shared earlier, I don't even know her name. I don't know her from anywhere, but bless her heart, because what she shared with this church is exactly what God put in my heart for this message. I don't like to call it sermon. It's so formal. But the message that I'm going to share is exactly that we are called for a specific purpose on earth. And this morning when she shared that, it's just another confirmation in my spirit that God really wants to tell each one of us here this morning a very specific word. So I'm so excited about that. Also back, before I start officially, I prayed for this morning, and I just felt that there are a lot of people in this room, or many people in this room, who've been praying for things, people, babies, husbands, wives, family members, lost family members, house, work, it could be anything, I don't know, and you've kind of given up, it's taken years, it hasn't happened, and you're at the point now where you want to just say, Lord, that's fine, I'll leave it. And I just sense the Lord saying, don't stop praying. I know your heart. I know what you are praying for. And I will give it to you at the right time. And I want to read the scripture to you in Psalm 37, verse 3 and 4 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And that word is specifically for someone this morning, that take delight in the Lord. He knows the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I'm a practical guy, so you'll hear this morning, I'm quite practical. I preach on a simple, practical level because that's just who I am. If I had to tell you that I will give my children, my three boys, the desires of their hearts, things they like, I have to know what it is, right? Okay, so we can safely assume that God will give us the desires of our hearts because He knows what those desires in our hearts are. And I hope it bless you this morning that God knows what the desires of your heart is or are. And keep praying. It will come. Thank you, Jesus. Then moving on to the message. If we can just go to first light, Matthew 28. Oh, this light is so bad. Can you guys see the screen? Not really. Anyway, let's just go there. So this is Jesus. He's been on earth with His disciples. He's been crucified. He's alive again. He's about to return to heaven, and He speaks to His 11 disciples. Let's read. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So Jesus is speaking to his 11 disciples, and he gives them this one instruction that they must go, and I'm sure most of you have heard this verse through Sunday school and church: go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, do all these wonderful miracles and things so people can get to know me. That's our one commandment, our instruction. Now, those of you who work, and I assume most of us in the room, we work, there are targets that you work for, there are projects that must be delivered, there are KPIs, or KPAs, I don't know what you call it, your workplace, that you discuss halfway through the year. You'll say, "Right, boys, let's get together, and this is your targets for the year. Let's see how you are doing." And you'll get a rating from 1 to 5, 5 being amazing, you can almost walk on water like Peter, but 1 not being so great kind of thing. And you discuss it with your line manager, your boss, and you get to an agreement that you need to up your game a little bit in this regard or that regard. You're doing very well. Keep doing that. So it got me thinking this week that God our Father gives us one instruction, all right? In this very specific passage about go and make disciples of all nations. And I'm thinking to myself, I challenge myself, I said, but if God calls me into a room this morning and we have this sit-down discussion, our KPI discussion of, let's just see how you're doing, Jimmy, in your workplace, in your sports, where you do. Are you making disciples? How are you doing about baptizing people, praying for people? Are you on the right track or not? And it's a challenging thought. And I know for all of us, perhaps, it's a challenging thought to think, what would God say? Is he happy with our, not our performance, is he happy with our life? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? And I want to just see a testimony that you are where you're supposed to be in the workplace the moment, and God can and will use you in a very specific way. Now back to my opening statement of God knowing the desires of our heart and will give it to us. The previous time I preached in 2017 was, I shared about our move from East London to Somerset West. It was a big thing for my wife specifically. Her family lives in East London, brothers, sisters, mom, dad, everyone. We had a comfortable lifestyle, babysitters, etc. It was a lacquer life. But career-wise, I knew I had to move this way because our head office is based in this area. And so that there was an opportunity that a new position came up, brand new position created by the head of the department. And I applied for the job, but I knew in my heart, to get my wife here will really be a miracle. And those who know my wife now won't believe me quite, but she was very family. She's still very family orientated, hence she's with him now, with the kids for 2 weeks. I'm not going to go into details. We moved down here and God changed the hearts. Heart completely, and she's happy here with the kids, and she's full-time with the boys. And it's always been her heart to be a mother, to be with the boys at home, to teach them, to bring them up. But we couldn't afford it in East London, so we both had to do a full-time job. Long story short, I got the position down here, we moved down here, lekker. But I knew at some stage, my wife will have to go and work again, even a morning-only job, just to keep things afloat. But then something happened, and God, so beautiful that he... Things changed at work, and there was an opportunity and for another promotion at work. And they asked me to be the acting position at that time. And 8 months, it was a journey. It was praying and trusting the Lord. What does he want for us? Is it his plan? A long story short, I ended up getting the position, and that enabled my wife to be at home full-time still. And it's not about me being so great. It's about God knowing my wife's desires and our desires for her to be at home. And I'm telling you, it's supernatural. Let me tell you that it doesn't work in corporate the way it happened in this regard. And I've got some colleagues here this morning, and they can attest to the fact that it doesn't normally happen the way it did. So praise God for his faithfulness. I want to encourage you that what you are praying for, keep praying, because the doors will open at the right time. God knows the desires of your heart. He hasn't forgotten about them. He hasn't missed you. So you are where you are supposed to be. And where we are to make disciples of all nations, right? But very specifically, Jesus says to us, let's just go one step back. So he speaks to his disciples. If you are a Christian this morning and you believe in Jesus and you follow Jesus, it makes you a disciple. Okay, let me just put us in the same movie here. We are all disciples of Jesus. because we believe in him and we follow him. And if you go and Google the definition of disciple, it means follower of Jesus, right? So we're all disciples. So Jesus is also speaking to us here this morning. This wasn't only a word for the 11. It's a word for us this morning and all other Christians around the world to make disciples, but specifically to make disciples. I wanted to, just to stop there for a moment to say, Jesus didn't say, go and find other disciples and hang out with them. That's part of the Bible as well about church and community, but he says to us, go and make disciples. Right, so what it, in simple terms, again, I'm a practical guy, what it means to me is that find someone who's not a disciple and make him a disciple. Right. So how many of you in this room know someone who is not a disciple at the moment? Yeah, quite a few of us. Great. So we are in the same movie as we stand here. So we are asked and commanded and instructed by the King of the universe, Jesus Christ, saying, go and make disciples. Change their lives. I will help you. Because he leaves us in the last part, he says, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. He didn't say, you know what, now go like a bird in the nest, kicking the little one out to fly and leave them. He is going with us. And the lady shared it so beautifully this morning. He sent his Holy Spirit to help us and to guide us in life to make the disciples that we are called to make. Now, that's beautiful that Jesus is saying he's with you. So in our own flesh, so me standing here without God will not come close to making a disciple. And I realize that. But I know with Jesus in my heart and the Holy Spirit in my life, he will use me to make disciples. And so the same for all of us this morning. There's a saying from Francis Assisi. So just on that note, please forgive me and have grace on me for pronunciations this morning with names of the Bible. I'm a Buddha Afrikaans, okay. My English is not great. I don't always say what I want. I say what I can. So please bear with me. So Francis of Assisi, he said, share the gospel, and if necessary, use words. It's quite a deep statement he made. And I want us just let it sink in. He says, share the gospel. Tell the world about Jesus and the good news. And if you really have to, use words. So he's really challenging us to, through our actions, through our lives, through our fruit in our lives, at work, and sometimes more difficult than a golf course, let me tell you, that the fruit of your life reflects Jesus. I also want to tell us this morning, including myself, that we might be the only Jesus that some people will ever see on earth. Colleagues, friends, family members. We might be the only Jesus they'll ever see. What are we doing with this opportunity on earth? And I'm going to share a testimony on behalf of my wife, Lizelle. When she got to Bloom to study occupational therapy, she met some friends in the class and the hostel, and her and the one friend became good friends. But about 6 months down the line, this friend tells her over coffee, listen, I really enjoy your friendship and who you are, but can we just agree not to speak about God or Christianity or religion? I'm not into that. So if you want to ruin this friendship, then speak about that. So please, can we just agree to leave that topic alone? My wife, as you all know, she's quite shy and an introvert, a lot like me, not quite. So she said, no, it's fine, and she left it. So through the years, my wife, just being a light to this friend of hers, didn't Bible bash, didn't say anything, just living the life of a believer because she grew up in a Christian home as well, loves Jesus, accepted Jesus. And in their fourth year, last year at varsity, this friend of hers had a radical encounter with Jesus where he came in and changed her heart completely. She's still to this day on fire for Jesus. And she thanked my wife. She said to her, Lizelle, thank you for what role you played in my life throughout these years. You never Bible bashed me. You never judged me. You never pushed me into a corner. But through your life, I kept watching you. You inspired me so much that I also wonder what you have. And Jesus saved her life, and to this day, her and her family serve Jesus, they love Jesus. So please never think that someone is too far off the rails, or there's no hope for that person, we can even stop praying for him or her. Let me tell you, Jesus can change anyone in this world. He can change anyone in this world. So the question I have to myself this morning and to you, and I'm going to challenge us this morning as well, is that how many lives have we changed Back to the KPI discussion. If you go sit down and say, Jimmy, you're 36 years old. How many lives have you impacted, changed, led to the Lord perhaps? How many times have you actually not even invited people to church, but you had the opportunity? How many times have you shared some light on a dark topic? How many times have you prayed for your colleagues, your friends, your family? I don't know, but the answer is in your mind. But I do know we are called to do that on a daily basis because Jesus is so ready to give and to change lives. Sometimes he's just waiting on us to action it, to step into faith and do it. You know, and I think to myself, yo, if there's a survey at my workplace to say that they must list all Christians who love Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus, would my name be on that list? Would they know that I love Jesus? And I'm not talking about the Christianity where on Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram or wherever you are, that you tick the religious view Christian, because that's just the right thing to do. I'm talking about a living relationship with Jesus where people can see the impact of your life, where they feel the impact of your life, where they see the fruit of your life, and then know that this man or this lady has something different. Because, you know, Angus Buchan says, good people don't go to heaven. Believers do. So people at work might think, yes, he's a good guy or she's a good lady and whatever else, but believers go to heaven, and it's up to us to change the world for Jesus. We are his hands and his feet down here on earth at the moment. I want to speak to, if you're currently sitting here, you feel inadequate, disqualified, guilty, that you cannot do this work, we're going to change that this morning. Jesus is going to change that this morning, and I'm going to share some own testimony of my own life, but also some scriptures that hopefully will encourage you that God can and will use you no matter what. And the topic of this morning is good enough. Because each one in this room, we are good enough to be used by Jesus. Can we get an amen for that? You are good enough to be used by God. I'm going to read in Judges 6 and 7 the story about Gideon. And yes, we have to have grace with me with some of the pronunciations. And bear with me, not all the slides are on. It's quite a long passage, but I really want to highlight some areas of the story in Gideon that blessed me so much. So, just background. The Israelites did evil things in the eyes of the Lord. For 7 years, the Lord gave them into the hands of the Midianites, and they got a proper hiding from these guys. If you think World Cup Proteas, those kind of hidings, probably this kind of thing. They got diminished, and they got overpowered by all these bad people. So, here in verse 11 in Judges 6. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." So this guy is hiding from these Midianites. He's busy threshing wheat for his father. Here appears the angel of the Lord saying, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." I'm sure Gideon thought for a moment, this guy's GPS took him the wrong way. Mighty warrior, I'm threshing wheat here, I'm doing my job. Gideon says, "Pardon me, my Lord, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all these wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord." Gideon is still shaken up. Gideon replied, "But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." So Gideon went away and he brought an offering to the Lord. Let me skip a few verses. And then verse 23, the Lord said, "But the Lord said to him, 'Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die.'" Gideon built an altar there, and he called it, "The Lord is peace." Then he moves on. I'm going to skip a few verses. And let's go to verse 31. But Joash, his father, replied to the hostile crowd around him, "Are you going to plead Baal's cause?
Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is God, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar. So because Gideon broke down Baal's altar, they gave him the name of Jerubbaal. That saying, let Baal contend with him. So now, I'm going to go to verse 36. I'm sorry I'm jumping around. I want to highlight the best parts here, put it into context. Verse 36, Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all around it, the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said. And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew. A bowl full of water came out, and the rest was dry around it. Now this is Gideon. He's first saying, Lord, no, wait. Are you calling me? I'm the least in my family. My family is the weakest of all the people here. How can you ask me to save Israel? Then he goes further and says, but Lord, if it's really you, give me a sign. By then, that's why God is amazing and I'm not, because I would have said, listen, yeah, let's just leave it. I'll find someone who wants to do it, so it's fine. God is patient, and Gideon said, please don't be angry with me, Lord, verse 39. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. But this time, make the fleece dry and let the ground around it be covered with dew. That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground around it was covered with dew. So he asked for another sign. And God said, that's fine. I will give you another sign. And God gives him another sign. So now it's really, he can't deny it anymore. So I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But it comes down to that he arrives ready for battle with about 32,000 men. And ended up going to war with only 300. All right? Now if you can imagine, you get your troops together. You're already in doubt. But you've got your signs. So now you are amped and ready. Then God says, no, you've got too many men. They will take the glory for this victory. And I want the glory because I'm going to help you. Send them home. And you can go read the chapter. It's really a powerful piece in the Bible. And it ended up with 300 men. Now they have to go and fight these people below them. And it says that their camels, I think, were thick as locusts. Like sprinkana packed all over. It's thick as locusts. It's like, whoa, how are we going to do this? But God helped him. They had got the victory. In the end of verse chapter 8, it speaks about 120,000 men on the other side eventually were killed, and the victory was God's because he used Gideon. And why am I reading this? Because many times, as I said, we doubt that God can use us, right? We doubt that God called us and sent us to where we are to make disciples. But God spoke to Gideon, and this angel, the first thing he says to him, mighty warrior. God saw Gideon from the beginning as a mighty warrior. And therefore, he sent him as a mighty warrior. Even though Gideon said, you must be a bit off the topic here, or off your mind, because I can't do this. God showed him, and he used him because he saw him the way he saw him, and not the way Gideon saw himself. And this morning, including myself, we sometimes believe we are disqualified because we look in the mirror and we see the Jimmy on the other side, the guy who makes mistakes, the guy who sinned. We do not see the people, the man that God called for a specific purpose. And that's my prayer this morning, is our hearts will change. When we look at ourselves, we will see the person that God called, made with a specific purpose to change this world and to make disciples. I'm going to share my story with you briefly. It's not as amazing as Gideon's, but I grew up in a Christian home. Maybe some of you heard the story, and I apologize, but let's go again. Christian home, Sunday school, got all my badges at Sunday school, great stuff. Godly parents introduced me to the Lord at a young age. Throughout school, never touched alcohol, never smoked. You know, the good boy, prefect, sportsman, wada. And I'm off to varsity, but throughout my childhood, there were people praying for me. I remember it clearly as a young boy, primary school, high school, saying things like, you've got a calling on your life. I believe God's going to use you in a mighty way. You're going to change the world for Jesus. And I'm thinking, good big words, I'm a boy, but it touched my heart, and I said, let's go. So I go to varsity, Poch, ready to change the world with my innocent background, and I arrived there, and so I mentioned the sport part, so I'm in a hostel, it's quite sport-orientated, I suppose like most men's hostels are, and long story short, I'm in the cricket team, and it's like a first game, I do quite well. All the seniors in the hostel are impressed with me, and so it's time for cricket fines. And those who don't know fines, you sit in a room, and all the seniors will have beer and wine already packed out in glasses and say, right, boys, let's start a fines meeting. And they fine you for anything and everything under the sun. They fined me for taking 4 wickets because I didn't leave enough wickets for the seniors to take. Kind of get my drift, eh? Any reason for you to drink, they'll let you drink. So here I was, not drinking alcohol before, having fines, downing beer, wine, etc. So, as you can imagine, it was quite messy, and I was completely drunk for the first time in my life. Woke up in the night feeling very sick, and so the journey started for me to really go off the rails there, and enjoying this partying and the drinking. Found myself 3 months down the line, going to the bottle store, buying a bottle of brandy and coke, the cheapest combo you can find, just to get drunk that evening and go out with your mates and have a great time. But the best part is that Sunday evenings, and take note, Sunday evenings, because Sunday mornings were not right for church yet. I go to church Sunday evenings because it's the right thing to do, right? I go to church, don't really care what they say, but I was in church, so my boxes ticked, and I am ready to go for another week. Amazing Christian, changing the world, right? But I was fooling myself. For 6 months, I was fooling myself, thinking, yep, you're doing the right thing, carry on like that. And in one specific sermon, one Sunday, it was actually a morning sermon, God spoke to me through the sermon and through the Holy Spirit, and he says to me, what are you busy doing? What is the difference between you and your buddy in the hostel who doesn't even believe in God? What is the difference in your fruit? What is the difference in your life? Because there's no difference. And it came to me, the message was about putting your brights on in your car, not your dims, because the dims don't get noticed, but your brights are get noticed, and you make a difference and you make an impact. And there was an altar call that morning, and I went forward and said, Lord, I'm so sorry for messing up my calling, thinking it's okay to party like the rest, get drunk, to go to church the next day. My fruit is bad. Change me and help me. And faithful God, he is a father, a loving father. He forgave me. And with that, we started a journey, and I'm still on this journey. So changed my ways about the partying and whatever else. And that's the favor of God and the grace of God is sufficient for all of us. No matter where you find yourself this morning, if you feel guilty and condemned and disqualified to be used, God can change it in an instant. He changed it in my life. He used Gideon in an amazing way. And let me tell you why. In Romans 5 verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, while I was still partying and falling over and being drunk, God still loved me because he sent his son Jesus to die for me when I was still a sinner. He saw me as a mighty warrior. Throughout that time, he didn't give up on me. He didn't give up on you. He still sees you the way he created you, the day you were born. If there's words spoken over you in your life or prophecies, hang on to those because God sees you the same way as he did back then. If I take my own children, nothing they can do can change my love for them. As naughty as can be sometimes, as strong-willed as can be sometimes, but nothing can change my love for them in the same year for Jesus and Father God. No matter if we're missing our calling at the moment, it's not too late. I'm going to say to you this morning, you are not too old, too young, too guilty, too bad to be used by God. You are not disqualified. God is qualifying us through the blood of Jesus. And recently I shared about Jakey, our youngest. He's 8 months now, about his sickness. He had ITP, a blood disease, where he was sick, and we took him to hospital. He was 3 nights in the hospital. And I shared, when we took him for the blood test that morning, Lazelle couldn't go in. I had to go in with him. And he was lying there, very brave, with needles and a needle in each arm, and I was standing there crying. My little boy here is lying with needles in his arm, taking blood from his little body for tests, and we don't know what's wrong with him. And he's so brave, and I'm standing there crying for him. And immediately it took me back to East London, where our oldest son, who's now 5 and a half, he was just under 2, got very sick with a gastro and a stomach virus. And long story short, I had to take him to hospital as well. And I was holding him, and the nurse came because they had to put a drip in his arm. He was dehydrated and not in a good space. And they had to put a drip in his arm. And at that time, my boy kid realized what's going to happen here. He saw the lady, he saw the needle, and he was clinging on to me, crying, "No, daddy, no, daddy, no, daddy." And for those who have children, you'll understand this. I have to pin him down, crying, screaming, "No, daddy," pin him down so that this nurse can put a drip in his arm against his will, but I knew I had to do it for his own good. And in that moment in East London, I'm standing there crying again about my boy keep crying and the situation. God takes me straight to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is before his crucifixion. And he says to his disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed to the point of death." He goes and prays to God. He says, "My Father in heaven, is there no other way for me? Can this cup not be taken away from me? I don't want to be crucified and beaten to death. I don't. But not my will, your will." He goes three times. Go read the story. It's in Matthew 26. Three times he goes back. His disciples are sleeping, but that's besides the point for now. He goes back three times. "My Father, please, can this cup be taken away from me? Not my will, your will." And I imagine God the Father's heart breaking like mine was today in his London ICU or in the hospital about his son not wanting this, but he has to go through it because it's the best for us. While Jimmy is still drinking in Potchefstroom, having fun, being drunk, God is saying, "I love you so much, I will still give my son, even if it breaks my heart, because I love my people to that extent." And he did it. He did it. So we are all saved through grace, through the blood of Jesus on that cross. And that qualifies us. The price was heavy to pay, but it's free for us today. His grace is free for us to accept that and to be used by him and to be empowered by him. That's why he died for us, to have a relationship with us. And through the relationship with him, we'll go out and impact this world in a godly, powerful way. And let me tell you, he's got a lot of grace because, again, like myself, you're off on a great journey. You got to meet Jesus. You're on fire. You go along on the 120 kilometers an hour, and somewhere along the line, something's happened, and you slow down. You get complacent. You think it's okay to do certain things. You compensate certain things. You become lukewarm, and your impact in the world goes down. But in that case, let me just read this to you. You know the story about Peter on the water? So the disciples are on the boat. It's dark, here comes Jesus, and they are freaked out completely. He's walking on the water. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And Peter pipes up, he says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come on the water to you." Jesus says, "Come." Jesus called him, he says, "Come." Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Started off well. He's walking on the water. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he says, cried out, "Lord, save me." So Jesus laughed at him, turned around, and walked away. No, not in my Bible. Immediately, Jesus reached out to Peter, out his hand, and caught him. And I imagine Jesus smiling and said, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" Many people might see God as a God of shambok, a father wants to give us hidings. God is a loving father. He loves his children. In this instance, I believe Jesus saying, "You did so well, but you lost faith, man. Why?" But immediately, Jesus had grace on Peter, and he helped him up. And I was at Peter sinking away in Potch, and immediately Jesus reached out to me, pulled me up, and said, "Come, you have little faith. We'll change this around." So don't worry if you sometimes make mistakes and you doubt and the storms of the world grabs you and you can't deal with it. Jesus is right there. Call out to him. He will save you. And I want to just end off with this last scripture here, that we are not alone in this. If you feel that you can't be used, this is the last part of, I want to encourage you with this. This is a promise from Jesus to us in John 14 verse 12. He says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to my Father. It also speaks about the Holy Spirit is sent to help us as the helper. So anyone who has faith in me, in this room this morning, if you have faith in God and in Jesus, you and I will do greater things than what Jesus himself did. And I want to challenge you to go, I want to invite you to go and read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, John, Luke, and see what Jesus did. And see then what we should be doing on earth, praying for the sick and healing will happen, praying for demons to go, praying for lame people to walk, changing lives, making disciples, because Jesus made a lot of disciples. That's our calling. That's who we are. And he left the helper with us. So can we please stand up and the band come forward. We're going to do communion. And communion is so precious this morning. It fits in so nicely with God's promise to us and the calling. The ushers can please hand out the communion elements. It's at the back. So this morning, I don't know where you are in your work with Jesus. I don't know where you are with the commandment of making disciples. I don't know if you feel excited about your journey so far, this very moment in your life, if you're happy with your work you've been doing for God, because he's all about relationship. And if you're really close to his heart, it will come automatically that you want to change people's lives for their good and to meet Jesus, to change everything for them. I don't know where you are, but I do know that the cross was enough to qualify each one of us this morning, that we are good enough to be used by God from off this moment onwards, that nothing will keep us back. Nothing will make us feel guilty and condemned or disqualify us, because that's the way of the enemy to nullify God's people, to tell them you're not good enough to make an impact. You don't qualify to make an impact. Don't even say that. They will laugh at me at work. They will laugh at me in the sports field. The enemy wants to nullify us and keep us quiet so we cannot make disciples for God and for Jesus. So as we going to do communion, I want you to take a few moments between you and God the Father. Have that conversation in your heart with him about your, let's call it the KPI discussion of where you are, how are you going to change things around going forward in making an impact and making disciples. So let me just pray. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus, that you sent to earth while we were all still sinners, living a bad life, Lord, life of destruction and sin. Thank you that you even loved us then, Lord. And we love you today because you loved us first. And Father, this morning as we celebrate the cross, as we think of Jesus' body on that cross, bleeding for myself and every person in this room this morning, Lord, we say thank you for your grace. Thank you for your favor, your mercy, and your love. That's unconditional, Father God. So Lord, as we celebrate communion this morning, as we use communion, I pray for every person, dear Lord, that you will speak to our hearts this morning about our lives and our journey with you, Lord, and show us and speak to us how to change, what to change, Lord Jesus. So we just thank you for your body that was broken for us, Lord. And as we take the bread, that was your body, as you said to your disciples, break the bread, it's my body. Think of my body that was broken for you. We thank you, Lord, for your body, Jesus, that was broken. Can I just ask if we just all close our eyes, please? Guys, it's nothing weird. Just close your eyes. And there's a specific group of people this morning I would like to pray for, and the team would like to pray for. But first of all, I shared about you praying for something specifically for a long time, for someone specifically. If it's you this morning that's really been praying for a long time for something or someone, and you're about to give up or you've given up already, just raise your hand, please. All eyes are closed. It doesn't matter what people see or do. It's all about you and God this morning. It's about God knowing your heart's desires. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. If you've been praying and you are about to lose hope, God's going to change it this morning. We're going to pray for you. Second group of people, maybe you've also started off well on your journey with God. You've made impact in the beginning, but as I did, you kind of lost the plot somehow. You are not making an impact the way you want to be. You feel you are lukewarm. You are not using the opportunities God is creating for us every day at the workplace, at the sports field, in the classroom, wherever you are. If you feel you need a change from God, a touch from God this morning, can you please raise your hand and and step up and say, God, no more lukewarm. I want more of you. I want to make impact. I want to be used by you, Jesus. I'm not happy with the way things are going at the moment, Lord. I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting your opportunities. Thank you for the hands. There's nothing embarrassed about this, guys. There's nothing to be shameful. God wants to touch your heart this morning and call you into being. He sees you. He says, you are a mighty warrior. I'm going to use you in ways you've never experienced or expected before. Thank you for those hands. In the last group, if you have never actually met Jesus, you've never accepted Jesus in your heart, you know about Him, people talk about Him, but you have never accepted Him and say, Lord, I accept you as the Savior of my heart. I need you, Jesus. I'm lost. I'm on my own journey here. I need you. I need you. I need you. If it's you this morning, please raise your hand. Do not let an opportunity go by to meet with Jesus. He wants to heal you. He wants to give you a new heart, a new life, and pour out His Spirit on you so you can journey with Him and make an impact. Anyone here this morning, don't be embarrassed, guys. This is the opportunity that God's created this morning for you to say, God, I need you. Please come and take my heart and change my heart. I want to surrender my life to you, Jesus. Okay, I'm going to pray now for the people. I'm going to close the service, but I want to encourage and invite the people who raised their hand to please come forward afterwards and have individual prayer with us. We really want to bless you and pray with you. There's nothing embarrassed about it. It's life-changing moments that I went forward in Potchefstroom in 2002-03, and God changed my life forever. Now, many years later. So, Father God, we thank you this morning for your word. Thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that you call us the way you see us, not the way we see ourselves, Father. You don't see the disqualified Jimmy, the disqualified people. You see the qualified through the blood of Jesus. Father, you are so in love with us. Your love is unconditional, unfailing, and so faithful. And Lord, I pray this morning specifically for the people who have been praying for people or things or whatever it might be. Lord, you know I don't, Lord. I want to pray for them this morning. And I say in Jesus' name, let it be, Father. Thank you that you know our hearts, you know our heart's desires, and you say you will give it to us. This morning I stand with these people in faith. We call it out in Jesus' name. That the people that have been praying for will change in the name of Jesus. They will meet you, Lord, if it's family members who need you, that they will meet you in specific, special ways, Father God, and blow our expectations, Lord. If the people praying for babies, I pray in the name of Jesus, let it be for husbands and wives, for whatever it might be, a job, Lord, a new job opportunity. Thank you for my testimony. Thank you that I'm not more special than anyone here this morning, Lord, and you want to do the same for each person in this house this morning, Father. I pray in Jesus' name, let it be. Thank you that you know our hearts intimately. You created our hearts. You gave us those desires. Therefore, you know them. Hallelujah, Father. I also pray for the people raising their hands who's just not doing their best for you currently, Lord. Lord Jesus, you feel they need to up their game, so to speak. Father, who's not using the opportunities that you give us every day. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, you will come and stir hearts right now in Jesus' name, Lord. Enough of mediocrity. Enough of lukewarmness, Lord Jesus. We pray for a fire to go through our hearts as we go out here today, Lord, as we go to the workplace, that people will know that we love you, Jesus, and that you love us through the fruit in our life. Not through Bible bashing, but through the fruit in our lives. People will see that we are different. I pray, Lord, that we will go and make disciples as we are called to be. Each one of us in this room this morning will go out here and make disciples. As of today, Lord, we will change and impact the workplace, the sports fields, the classrooms, wherever we move, we'll bring life through you, Jesus, because you paid the price on the cross. Father, and perhaps if there's anyone here who hasn't met you, we just thank you for your blood. Thank you for your body that was broken for us. Give us second chances, third chances, fifth chances. Your love is unfailing and your grace is sufficient for us. So I pray in Jesus' name that you'll come and meet us here in this very moment, Lord. As we are broken, disappointed, maybe guilty, I pray in Jesus' name that you will come and fill our hearts, Lord. Take away guilt, condemnation in Jesus' name. Give us new heart, new hope, and a new future, Jesus. Thank you for this morning. Thank you that you are so here and your presence is here, and that you had a special appointment with me and everyone here this morning, Father God, to share your word. I pray that you will bless us all as we leave. Take us home safely, Lord, and be with us in this new week. Maybe step up to the plate and say, Lord, I will be the Gideon to my people. I will lead them. Even if I doubt myself, you are with me. And when I fall like Peter, you will pick me up. What a comforting thought and promise that you will always pick us up when we fall. We bless your name, Jesus. I want to ask that the people who raised their hands feel free to come to the front. The rest are going to have coffee at the back and speak to people and mingle. But please give time for the people who want to come for prayer to come forward and really receive the blessing from the Lord this morning. The team can come forward as well and come for prayer. So I just want to give to Nastasha for something.
Yeah, I just really feel the Holy Spirit wants to pour Himself out onto us. And everything that Jimmy said about us having impact, like often we think, okay, I have to try harder, or I have to work harder at producing fruit in my life that people can see Jesus. But that's never what Jesus said. He said, I want to pour my Spirit out. He was so excited to tell everyone, don't worry, when I leave, Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and you're going to be empowered. So it's never something that we need to muster up or do. Like, we cannot have power to heal people. We can't set people free. We cannot be nice enough to impact people. That's why Holy Spirit wants to come upon us. And this whole week, like, Holy Spirit has just been saying, I want to come upon people. I want to descend. I want to come upon people. I want to empower people. And all you need is to say, I want it, and He's going to come and do it. So I just want to ask those people that raise their hands, just now come to the front. The Holy Spirit is actually going to pour Himself out onto you. It's not a nice little prayer, and then I need to leave and work harder. He is going to empower you. Yeah. So come to the front. We're gonna pray. Yeah. Yeah. Can I pray for those people just corporately? If you want that, if you want Holy Spirit to come upon you, can you just come to the front and open your hands? I just want to pray. Yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you want to come upon us. So every person that wants to make impact, that knows God has got a call on my life and I need power from on high to come upon me, come, open your hands up, receive. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are powerful, that you are loving, that you know better than we do, that you want to pour yourself out on us because that's what you promised you're going to do. And so I thank you, Holy Spirit, for each person opening up their hands, opening up their hearts, hungry to receive empowerment from on high. Thank you that right now you descend and you come and you fall upon each of us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are here, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just come and empower right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you for every hunger. You are into filling our hunger. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
The rest of the people can go and have some coffee. Those who want to come to the front still, raise your hands. Please come. We would love to pray with you guys. The rest really go and enjoy some coffee. Thank you for coming this morning. Enjoy the rest of your day and be safe. God bless.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.